In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The words that are spoken by the Roman centurion this morning are priceless words to millions, if not billions, of Christians, especially to our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church. There, just before receiving communion, it is the practice to take the centurion's words and to make them your own. As the Christian approaches the chalice, she says, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and your servant shall be healed." And from Scripture we know that the faith of the centurion, this faith is a very impressive faith. Jesus, we are told, marvels at the faith of this Roman soldier. Christ says that he has not found even such faith in all of Israel. And so for us, the centurion is a kind of spiritual hero. We want to be like the centurion. We want to have surprising faith. We want to be able to take the breath of Christ away. "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and your servant shall be healed." But this morning, resist that urge and don't see yourself as the centurion. You and I are members of the body of Christ. In the gospel this day, we are the eyes and the ears of Christ. We are his heart and his hands. Don't be the centurion who approaches Christ in faith. Instead, this morning, identify with Jesus himself. Identify with Jesus as he receives this Roman soldier. Because we are more than the followers of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And this day, the enemy comes to our door. The centurion is no friend. The Romans have taken away everything. Our freedom, the richness of our land. The Romans are brutal. They are brutish. They speak other languages. They don't know the difference between Adam and Abraham. All they seem to know is taxation and crucifixion. If you could get away with it, the centurion is someone you would spit on. But today, the enemy comes to our door. And what do we see? What do we see when the enemy comes to the door? Do we see the blood stains on his armor? The blood of our own neighbors and relatives spilled because the Roman soldiers, they sometimes get bored and they decide that torture and cruelty are fine ways to pass the time. Do we see his weapons of war? Do we see his sword and his shield? Do we see his spear and his horse? Do we see the band of foot soldiers who follow closely behind, ready to defend their leader to the death should someone ask the wrong question or suddenly make the wrong move? Do we smell the leather and the iron of his battle gear? A smell that reminds us of terror and death. Do we hear the pound and crunch of his boots on the gravel? A sound we often hear in the middle of the night just before those same boots kick in the door, just before those same boots kick you in your ribs. Do we close our eyes and fight back the sun's glare? The bronze of his helmet and the steel of his sword play cruel tricks in the daylight. The centurion's armor turns the sun into a weapon, light into daggers. But Christ receives the enemy this day, and we receive the enemy this day. And will we see all the icons of hatred that remind us of his sins? Or will we see his need? Will we see his hurt? Will we see past our own anger and hatred? Will we see past our own desire for revenge The enemy's hand this day does not hold a sword. He holds it open, asking for help. And will we take his hand and welcome him, or will we slap his hand away and curse? Of course, these many questions, even if they might be a little bit uncomfortable, these questions are largely academic. Liturgically, yes, liturgically, the enemy knocks on our door this morning. But no flesh and blood enemy actually sits in the church this day. We read of the centurion, but no modern centurion seeks our help this day. So maybe then I'm asking the wrong questions. Maybe the important question is not, how would you receive an enemy? Not, how would you receive a stranger? The urgent question, the question which confronts us in Scripture itself, is not the question of how do you respond to the enemy. The urgent question is, why is the enemy not here today? Why is the stranger not here today? The encounter that we hear proclaimed in Scripture this morning, it's no accident. The centurion didn't happen to stumble upon Jesus. The centurion searches for him. He goes out of his way to find Christ. And this is because the centurion, he sees something in Christ. The centurion calls him Lord. For the centurion, this is a death sentence. The Roman soldier only has one Lord. It's the Roman emperor. But Jesus allows the centurion to see in him a higher authority. And it's an authority not based on control, not based on fear. It is an authority not based on power. The authority which Christ has is authority that comes from love. The centurion sees love in the eyes of Christ. He sees love in the work of his hands. The centurion has been watching this Jesus of Nazareth. And the centurion is changed. He's changed by what he sees. In the sweetness of his words, there is always love. In his care for the poor and the sick, there is love. And even for the enemy, even for the stranger and the outcast, there's love. And so for the centurion, this love blows away every other form of authority. Blows it right out of the water. The emperor can take away his commission. The emperor can even take away his life. The emperor no longer has control of the centurion's heart. The centurion's heart belongs to Christ. And so the question is not, what do we see in the enemy? The important question is, what does the enemy see in us? The centurion sees Christ, and there is conversion, there's change. And when the enemy sees Christ in us, when the enemy receives love from us rather than rage, when the stranger is welcomed rather than passed over, then they will knock on our door as well. They too will approach and say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord is waiting to marvel at the faith of those we call our enemies. But that will not happen if they do not see first in us the love of Christ. Christ is waiting to be surprised. He is waiting for the outcast to step boldly toward the body of Christ and to come home. But in the first place, before that, Christ is waiting on you and on me. He's waiting for us to light the fire that gets all this going. Christ is waiting for us to to step outside the walls of this church, outside the walls of our personal monasteries. Christ is waiting for us to tell the enemy where he can find us, and that he's welcome to come and get us. Christ is waiting for us to reveal to the stranger that we too are beggars. We are beggars just trying to show other beggars where to find bread. And if the enemy and the outcast are not here today, let's make sure that next week is a different story. Christ is in our midst.